Hello, my friends, and welcome back to Springwood.
Yes, we are back, baby.
And this is, I guess, Dave's most anticipated show.
Because, I guess you'd say so.
Because this is the recap.
Yes.
And David has taken it upon himself to, rather than allow this to be an easygoing and relaxing episode, he's got pages of notes.
Yeah, just some stuff.
And I know that you sent me, like, info.
Uh-huh.
I ignored all of it.
That's fair. So, that's totally fair.
but yes, so this is Welcome to Primetime of Freddy's Nightmares podcast. I'm your host, Enrique Couto, here with Double D, Louis DeNoyer.
Hello.
And yeah, we want to talk a little bit about the last season of the show before we head into season two. Now, we have teased going into season two so much that I'm starting to not believe that
we're
going to
get there.
Yeah, because let's see, what, for like 3 or 4 weeks.
Yeah, because it was, I think it was right after, because Jeff Freilich's interview was, I think, the kickoff to us kind of doing the bonus episodes.
Yeah.
And then I think from there we did, you know, the Freddy's soundtrack last week. Well, not soundtrack, Freddy's greatest hits last week. Yeah. And then before
it was
that.
It was a listening party.
A listening party, yes, yes. And we talked about, of course, you know, everything from the creation of that wonderful album and the Freddy's Hotline as well.
Yeah, so we covered the Freddy's Hotline, which was a fever dream in and of itself.
Yeah.
Ironically enough, 100%. Fever dream.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so now, I mean, this is kind of your gig.
I'm looking at this
piece of paper here. I do want to mention real quick that if you love what we do here at Welcome to Prime Time, then you should subscribe on Patreon and
yes.
you can watch the video version of this podcast, which is pretty fun.
Yeah.
And my favorite part about it is watching Dave watch himself on the monitor, which was what was the first piece of advice I gave you when we moved into the studio?
Don't watch the monitor.
Yeah. At least you admit it. You're like, the first piece of advice I was ever given was don't watch the monitor. So now I'm watching the monitor.
Yeah, you know.
But no, so if you want to check that out, go to freddysnightmares.com and click on Patreon. And in the $3 tier or higher, you get access to all kinds of stuff, including a video podcast of us, which if you've seen our TikTok videos or our Instagram videos, our reels or whatever the hell they're
clips,
called,
yes.
clips, the YouTube shorts.
Shorts.
They're literally snippets from the video. But anyway, Double D, this is your gig.
My program.
So I all guess right. all I'm going to say is, you will fail.
I will fail, yes.
Okay, all right. So tell me about it.
So season one, I mean, let's start with what our expectations were going into this show.
Okay,
you know,
I
for one, you know, we've talked at length about what we thought Freddy's Nightmares was going to be, but I was blown away by the first season, to be perfectly honest, because
You were blown away. What when you say that, like, I want details.
Details. The best thing that I can say is that I was entertained every single episode.
I would agree with that. I would agree with
I
that.
Did I did not feel like any episodes really slogged on. I didn't feel like there was any that, like, when I had to do my rewatches for typing and everything, I felt like I looked forward to rewatching them, and I usually caught stuff that I didn't catch the first time around.
Well, and people had been, I mean, this is one of those things where it's like the opposite of being damned by positive feedback.
Yeah.
It was damned by people just saying, this show is the worst.
Yeah.
I hate it. It's so bad. There's no Freddy or whatever they were saying. And I'm thankful that I never really buy into any of that.
Yeah. No, so. I feel the same way. And the one thing that I really want to stress is that, Freddy is not, you know, in the episodes a lot, but like the stories that are created from the writers, the directors and everything, the episodes that we have in this first season, I thought were pretty solid for the most part. Like even going through the recap of all 22 episodes, I really couldn't find one that I was like, God, I never want to watch that again. I didn't feel
not
like that
one.
With any of them. Not really. No,
not even that one.
Not even that one.
Okay.
But 22 episodes is what season one consisted of. Season two is going to consist of 22 more episodes, but mainly the reason I wanted to have this show was just kind of get everything fleshed out for season one so we can dive into season two just ready to go with everything that we have, you know, looking forward to from both the descriptions of the episodes I've read, directors that'll be coming on, stuff like that. So
now, do you feel like you might be biased towards season two because Jeff Freilich is no longer the showrunner, and he beat you up.
He is on the first episode, or his name's on the first episode.
Oh,
at least.
Okay.
He is listed. I actually typed it out. He is listed on 34 episodes as being. Where is it? Give me a second here.
Oh my God!
Shut up. He's listed as being on the 34 episodes as having creative producing to it.
Yeah. He was a consultant, I believe.
Yes, that is correct. So he is going to be with us a little longer. But what I'm looking most forward to,
I just like that he gave you a bunch of shit.
He gave me a lot of shit, but I loved it. It was kind of nice.
It was awesome. It was the best. He really got the vibe of the show, which is hate on Dave.
Exactly. But no, I mean, season one in a nutshell for me is something that, like, I will, since we've been doing the show, I've obtained a new copy of the series, and I look forward to going back and rewatching season one when we're not doing the show on it, just because of how much I enjoyed the episodes.
That's a tall order, thinking we'll ever stop doing the show and that it won't go on forever, like some kind of a less racist H.P. Lovecraft story.
But what was your, I mean, what was your takeaway from season one now that we've gotten the 22 episodes?
I do not appreciate my own questions being turned around on me.
Tough shit.
That's not okay. No, I was always curious. I'm not going to lie. I was very concerned that this was going to get pretty abysmal.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, I'm one of these people that I really believe there are no bad, there are no bad movies, only bad audiences.
Yeah.
That's always been my mentality with television, with movies, with things like that. So I was always kind of wondering if we might uncover a gem.
Yeah.
So that was kind of where the way I went into it was like that, because the entire 22 episodes we've watched were all about, I would put them on. We record mostly on Tuesdays. I'd put them on at about 11:30 at night on Monday.
Yeah.
And then I'd watch them, and then I would write jokes as I went and write the puns and stuff like that. And it helps the show a lot to watch it in the middle of the night.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Like, it really, really does.
Oh, I 100% agree with that.
So, no, I was not expecting to find it as, in some ways, I mean, I don't want to, like, be obvious comparing it to, like, Tales from the Crypt too much.
Yeah.
Although there's so much they have in common.
Absolutely.
Including people.
Yes.
But when it comes to thinking of it as like Tales from the Crypt, the big difference is Tales from the Crypt is so polished. It does have a degree of timelessness. Like, you'll see, I don't know, Brad Dourif, and you'll be like, ah, look how young Brad Dourif is.
Yeah.
But you don't, it doesn't take you out of when it's being made or whatever.
Yeah.
With Freddy's Nightmares, it is a solid fat dose of late 80s, early 90s nostalgia.
Yeah.
That's silly and goofy. And frankly, I kind of wish that there was something like it now.
Yeah.
And there isn't. You know,
I mean,
it's
there's really not.
It's such a product of its time.
It 100% is. And I think, honestly, one of the things I really got enjoyment out of revisiting, well, not revisiting, but just going through the series, is that you really couldn't figure out where some episodes were going to go. You had an idea of where they may land.
I mean, I think if you had diagnosed schizophrenia, you might be able to guess how some of them end. But
that's very true.
No, they did. They keep you guessing.
Yeah.
There is no doubt about it. You would think a show that is constantly disgusting and vile and violent and sexual would become predictable. But it kind of didn't.
No, I mean, it was like, it's like, oh, well, I'm sure they'll die in their sleep. And they did, but it was how they did it.
Yeah. Well, that's the old joke, you know, like, are they going to die in their sleep? Sure. And how? You know? No, I agree.
Yeah.
That it turned out to be a lot more fun. And I'm nervously excited to dive into season two.
I am too. The one thing in regards to season two that I'm a little leery about is that we've already addressed it on a previous episode, is the order that they aired in. It's kind of the same thing with season one. There's sequels to episodes, and I was looking through the lineup today, and it's like some of their sequels are like 4 and 5 episodes in. So it's like we'll have a follow-up to episode 4 in like episode 8.
Well,
like,
that's
stuff like
called
that.
Being rewarded for being a regular viewer. That's your gift.
I'm just excited to see what exactly happens in season 2, but yes, also weary at that as well.
Me too. And I do want to mention, by the way, if you're listening to this and you've been listening to Welcome to Primetime for a while, we did want to say, you know, we've had incredible luck with great guests like Al Katz, James Cappy, and Jeff Freilich, who is like that was the one of the best possible guests.
Yeah.
Freilich has offered to come back on the program.
Yes, he has.
And anytime we really, I mean, you know, as long as we can make the schedule work. So if you out there, if you are a Fred head and you want to ask this showrunner of the first season of Freddy's Nightmares a question, send it in.
Yes, send him in.
So, and all you have to do is send us an email at Freddy's, was it Freddy's Nightmares Pod at gmail.com. It's in the show notes. Send us an email with your questions about the series, and you never know, we might just ask Mr. Freilich about it.
And I'll extend that in questionnaire too as well, because I just have recently spoken to Mr. Alan Katz, and he says that he and Mr. Gilbert Adler are more than happy to come on the show. So we will be having Alan Katz and Gil Adler on
eventually. I'm dying to talk to Gil about the show, because Gil was the hands-on day in. From what I understand, we may find out that this is not completely the way it went. But he was the day-in, day-out producer on the set.
Yes.
As to where Jeff was an executive and a writer.
Yeah.
And he was doing all these things. Gil was there, I'm assuming, every day, because I had always assumed he was the showrunner until Al actually set us straight on that. Yeah. So I know. You're like, it's so weird when a guest sets you straight, Enrique. You should be, we should be setting David straight.
100%. 100%.
So anyway, I'm sorry. I got a little bit off on a tangent there. But so, I just wanted to talk about that and also wanted to interrupt you.
I mean, you always do.
You talking.
So, but
I was thinking about lunch. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
In reviewing our reviews or our ratings, I should say, of the first 22 episodes, I'm not going to go through them all, obviously. But the one thing I will say is we did not go lower than a letter grade of a C-, and a C- only popped up a couple times.
Really?
Yes.
I mean, I guess that makes sense. I don't remember hating an episode. I don't remember being mad I watched an episode.
So you were the only one to give a C- in the first 10 episodes, which was for Saturday Night Special, which is the one with the Zamboni.
Dating. Yeah. Well, that was a wild one.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it was the I don't know. I remember that one being probably at the bottom of my feelings about the series, about the first season.
My C- was for Do Dreams Bleed, which was episode 11, which is the slasher one with the chopper.
Oh, with Springwood Chopper?
Yeah, and then the football team and the football kid, yeah.
So you were harsh on that one.
That was the harshest one I found, because hateful going back through Dave. Them, I did not give another C- and neither did you. You only gave one and I only gave one as well. Oh, wait, no, I lied.
He lied.
You gave Love Stinks a C-, the Jeffrey Combs episode.
Oh. Yeah. Help me out.
So that was the one.
I remember, most of it takes place at Cheesy Boy, right?
Cheesy Boy. So that was the second half.
Oh, that was the cannibal one.
That was the cannibal one with that one. But before it was the episode with... because the boyfriend was the character in the second episode. I'm trying to remember what the first storyline was, but I think mainly what it was that episode, the B story was so good that the A story kind of just fell a little bit for us.
Oh yeah. No, that sounds right.
Yeah. But no, I
look at you trying to poison my friendship with Jeff Combs.
But I'm just saying we rated these episodes pretty favorably, and that was kind of speaking to me when I was going through this last night. Was it was just like, that clearly shows that we enjoyed the season. And with that in mind, we're gonna save our top fives at the end of the episode. But
oh, we are?
According,
oh no, I'm giving mine right now.
But according
number one,
got it. But according to the breakdown of our favorite episodes via the ratings, your favorites from top to bottom was Safe Sex was number one for both of us, mind you.
So we both gave Safe Sex our number.
It was
our
number. That was an A.
So none of them ever got A pluses, huh?
None of them ever got A plus. The only thing we ever had was an A or an A minus. We didn't feel strongly enough to give A pluses.
Well, it's kind of like a 10 out of 10. You kind of want nothing to ever reach 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Because then there should always be room to improve or to go up, I guess. I don't know.
So that was the number one.
I think very heavily about these things, David.
I get it. Your number two favorite was School Days. That was the one where the kid basically fell into line with society and Freddy taught him.
Was that the one? That wasn't the one with the Nazis.
Yes.
That was
the one with the Nazis. Well, that's the one with the kid who is
like the
outcast, and they're turning the students into robots and mashing them.
Mashing them up. Okay. Yeah. I mean, there's so many episodes to confuse.
My second favorite was Cabin Fever, according to the ratings, which was the one Robert Englund directed and had the airline with the Red Baron and Freddy.
The great pun that the first half's in an airplane, the second half is in a log cabin.
In a cabin, yes.
Cabin Fever.
Yes.
Okay, yeah, no, I like that.
Your third favorite and my third favorite tied was Sister's Keeper.
Oh, really?
Yes. So episode 7, Sister's Keeper, the sequel to No More Mr. Nice Guy. We both gave that one. You gave it an A. I gave it a B+.
Wow.
Fourth favorite, yours was Missing Persons, Jeff Frylich's directed episode.
Okay, okay.
The one with the kid, the babysitter, and then you had the gangster.
Yes, yes.
My fourth favorite was Mother's Day, the one with the house party, and then the radio psychiatrist.
Where Freddy takes a stand and just helps a mother and daughter learn to listen to each other.
And then finally, your number 5 favorite was The End of the World, written by our good friend James Cappy.
Which I love that episode, not just because Cappy wrote it, although I really love Cappy to death, but because the audacity of Freddy almost causing global nuclear war is so good.
And writing a nuclear bomb at the end. Get on, little doggy.
Yeehaw! You know he's sterile after straddling a nuclear bomb, right?
My top favorite, according to the ratings, was Rebel Without a Car, and that is solely because of the second half of that episode. You had the first story with the kid wanting to be in the car club.
Yeah.
He unfortunately passes, of course. And then the second was the sorority.
Wait, a kid dies in the show?
Crazy, right?
Oh, wow.
Then the second one was the sorority that basically turned into a slasher film when they sold her into prostitution.
That episode was so sick. It was great, but it was so sick. They just drop her off at the end, and she's all, like, scratched up and clearly sexually abused.
Yeah. And then she goes back and kills them all.
Well, that is the dopest part. Yeah, she burns them all alive. That's a great episode.
That's a great episode. So now that we've gone through that, the one thing I wanted to make sure that we did this episode was I've made it my task every episode to make sure we highlight those behind the scenes and in front of the camera as well. So I wanted to go through and kind of generalize a lot of the people that we did talk about already, but kind of just give them the notoriety for how much they participated in season one.
So you want to like give like an all-star some all-star love.
Okay. So we're going to start with Mr. Ken Wiederhorn. Of course, he was the director on Freddy's Trick or Treats episode 4, Sister's Keeper episode 7, and he also did The Art of Death, which was episode 18. Now, Ken Wiederhorn, we talked about, of course, he is the man who brought us Shockwaves in 1977, Eyes of a Stranger in 1981,
of course,
Dark Tower in 87, Return of the Living Dead 2 in 88, and he also was on Dark Justice for several episodes directing.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, Frylich seemed to really... I mean, he even said so, that he really kind of built up his team of good workers doing Freddy's Nightmares.
And then the one thing I found when I was going through this last night that I wanted to tell you about is Mr. Ken Wiederhorn has a movie that we need to track down. And it's called The House in the Hills from 93. Michael Madsen.
Listening.
Hang on. I'm gonna give you the synopsis.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry. I wish you could have prepared it ahead of time. I know you only knew about this podcast for a week.
An aspiring actress gets a house-sitting job and finds herself in a cat-and-mouse game with a deadly ex-con.
I might have seen that.
House in the Hills, 1993.
Who else is in it?
Michael Madsen, Helen Slater, Jeffrey Tambor.
I've watched it. I've seen it. It's really good.
Okay.
That's a really good movie.
So,
where did I see it? It must be streaming somewhere.
It's got to be, I would imagine.
I have totally
Plex.
Seen it. Once you said Jeffrey Tambor, I was like, yep. Because I remember his characters, you know, he so often plays normal people.
Yeah.
But he's very... you would love that movie.
Thriller. I plan to check it out for sure. So Mr. Ken Wiederhorn, like I said, Freddy's Trick or Treats, Sister's Keeper, Art of Death. Sister's Keeper, like I said, was one of our favorite episodes, along with Freddy's Tricks or Treats, which was the Halloween episode.
Right.
Tricks and Treats. I always say Tricks or Treats. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you're stuck.
So
he's bad at this.
That's three episodes that this gentleman has with us this season. He's got, I think, 4 more in the next season
as well. Oh, wow.
So
okay.
Ken Wiederhorn will be back, and we cannot wait to get to
this. Ken Wiederhorn will return.
Next up, we have Mr. George Katzenger, who we've talked about as well, but he did The Bride Wore Red and Black Tickets, two of my definitely most memorable episodes, I would say, this season.
Most memorable.
Memorable
that
episodes.
That needs to be the first David t-shirt
Shut
for
up.
Our thing. It's just a shout-out that says rememberable.
But the man has been directing since the early 70s. He did a film called The Girl in Blue in 73, In Praise of Older Woman in 78, The Agency in 80. He was on Falcon Crest, either after Jeff or before him. I'm not sure because it was the 88 is when he fell into his schedule on it. And then he also did a movie called A Seduction in Travis County in 91.
Okay.
The reason I bring him up again is because The Bride Wore Red has DJ Freddy in it. Hands down, probably one of the best appearances of them. And Black Tickets, of course, had Brad Pitt. You know, that episode was insane as well, but also just a lot of fun. So,
well, it didn't just have Brad Pitt, young Dave.
Bill Moseley.
It had Brad Pitt and Bill Moseley sharing screen time together. Yes. And Brad Pitt's hand gets eaten by piranha.
That is very true, too. Yes.
I always say piranha because I love The Devil Times 5.
Not to mention Black Tickets had probably one of the most bleakest endings of an episode when she falls on
bleakest.
That.
That's the David shirt. Most bleakest.
Bleakest endings, which is her falling on the cuckoo clock and reverting back to her age.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah. No, that was a good one.
Yes. And then, of course, Bride Wore Red, you had that really crazy story with her divorced parents at the end.
Well.
Where she went crazy as well.
A little bit. Yeah, there's a lot of teens going nuts. Like, Weston Hills is staying populated.
And George Katzenberg will return in season two as well, I found out. So those two are going to be coming back.
Cool.
The last one I want to mention is John Lafia. He did Rebel Without a Car and Love Stinks. This man wrote Child's Play in 1988. Man's Best
Child's
Friend.
Play?
Yes. He was one of the writers on Child's Play.
Okay.
Man's Best Friend in 93. Child's Play a remake in 2019 he's attributed to as well. He also directed Child's Play 2 in 90. He was on Dark Justice.
Hey.
He directed Man's Best Friend, and he directed The Rats in 2002.
The Rats.
That's one I caught on Sci-Fi a lot. It's not as good as Rats, A Night of Terror.
Well, nothing is.
But if I remember correctly, rats are in a desolate house where these teens like either end up having a dare and they don't realize they're in the basement, and then they end up getting trapped in the house.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun
that
one.
That sounds fun. Yeah, yeah.
So the last thing that I have to say for directors is we've got to give the big names, though. Mr. Tobe Hooper, of course. No more Mr. Nice Guy.
Mr. Tobe Hooper of Texas Chainsaw Massacre fame.
Eaten Alive in 76, Salem's Lot in 79, The Funhouse in 81. I mean, if you don't know who Tobe Hooper is, I pity you.
Do you, though?
Oh, I do.
Hey, Dave, how about a snappy Tom? Not right now, after the show. I could just go for a snappy Tom.
And of course, we had Tom McLaughlin, who did It's a Miserable Life, which that was the only episode, by the way, we didn't give a rating on. When I went back through and checked them.
We forgot. We were still establishing the show.
And the more I've thought about it, I really do like that episode.
That's the one.
Beefy Boy original.
Oh, that's the Beefy Boy episode. Yes. What was the B story?
So the A story is the one with Beefy Boy.
Right.
B story is her at the hospital with the organ bank and all the nightmare visions
and
in the hospital.
The stabbing, the electric box.
The nurse sewing her mouth shut.
That is a really good episode.
Yeah. So yeah, no, I had to give credit on that one. Of course, Mick Garris did Killer Instinct, which we talked about at length, too.
Well, I mean, Lori Petty gets decapitated by a ribbon.
And does she have?
I mean, what else do you need?
No, exactly. So those are just some other directors I wanted to highlight. Writer-wise, I did want to give props to Jeff Frelick, of course. He is writer, story, teleplay, 34 episodes he's got credit to. Michael DeLuca, 7 episodes. And I mean, he, as Jeff said in the interview, he just had a lot to do behind the show, of course. And we are so grateful.
Too bad DeLuca faded off into obscurity after doing Freddy's Nightmares. Right. I mean, really the only thing you'll ever be remembered for.
Exactly. That's terrible.
No, it's not. He's like super successful.
No,
rich.
I know that the way you're saying
I was being facetious, David. Facetious.
Facetious indeed. And now I want to change direction over to the people that we haven't given a lot of credit to. The music team on Freddy's Nightmares, I think, really kicked ass in the first season with a lot of the music beds on some of the episodes. Nicholas Pike, of course, did the main theme, which has become our show theme and the outro, of course.
Yes.
And you also had Gary B. Spott. He did episode music for 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 18, 19, 20, and 22.
That is the highest I've ever heard you count.
Junior Homrick and Randy Tico did episode 6, 7, 8, 14, 15, 16, and 21. So a lot of different episodes played on for these guys. And if there's one thing that I can say about the music choices in this show is that some of them are like that sexy saxophone we had in the gangster episode. In Safe Sex. I mean, these guys really, really did due diligence on their job.
I mean, they did a fine job.
Exactly. And then to top it all off, we've got the special effects I want to give credit to as well. We talked about him a little bit, but we had Andre G. Elgeson, who worked on the entire series for season one, along with Randy Tatum. Elgeson did Nightmare on Elm Street 5, She-Wolf of London in 90, Scissors in 91 with Sharon Stone, which if you haven't seen Scissors, oh man, you haven't seen Scissors?
No,
yeah. Sexy thriller with Sharon Stone in 91. That's really messed up.
A little too on the nose.
One movie that I need to show you, Live Wire with Pierce Brosnan from 92, where a terrorist makes water basically blow up inside people.
Oh, I thought you were saying a terrorist makes water. I was like, so he takes a piss. What's the point? Like, what's the point?
One of our lesser known favorites, The Stepfather 3. He did the effects on that.
I love The Stepfather 3.
Dark Justice in 91.
Well.
The Stand in 94. Mick Garris is The Stand.
Okay, yeah.
And New Nightmare in 94 as well.
Really?
So
okay.
That guy had a lot under his belt. Randy Tatum did Scissors in 91, also on Livewire and Stepfather 3, and he also did Buffy the Vampire Slayer in 1992.
I feel like maybe we should have put a warning about how nerdy this was going to be, but I'm here for it.
This is the wrap-up. We've got to do what we got to do. So to top it all off and completely finish out the names, let's just review some of the names, big-wise, we had on this season. Of course, Brad Pitt was one that came to mind.
Brad
on Black Tickets. Brad Pitt.
Oh, you think he's like living in Wyoming with Michael DeLuca right now?
He's just probably
nothing really worked out.
He's probably in Babylon somewhere.
I don't get it. And neither did the American people. No, I'm sorry.
I don't know how well that did the box office, but not well.
Oh, I mean, you don't know? Well, you know.
We, of course, had Lori Petty in episode 3, John Cameron Mitchell, who played the beefy boy himself in episode 2, Mariska
beefy
Hargitay,
boy.
Paul Ben Victor, who played the gunman in the episode with the radio psychologist that we both, the guy that we were like, that guy,
yes,
who's in everything.
Yes.
Diane Franklin, who was in The Bride Wore Red.
Oh, she's so great.
George Lazenby, who appeared in The End of the World as the psychiatrist.
Yes!
Who was also James Bond, famously.
He was?
Yes, for one movie.
Wait. Bond, James Bond?
James Bond. Bond. James Bond. Shaken, not stirred.
Bond. Is no longer a safe way to invest your money because the economy's poor.
Jesus.
James Bond.
Bill Moseley, who we already mentioned. Brett Collin, who was the main character in Cabin Fever. Jeffrey Combs in Love Stinks. And, of course, Dick Miller in Light at the End of the Tunnel.
Hell yes. I mean, I'm wondering, like, are we going to get Buck Flower in the second season?
I would
like,
love
boy,
that. God, I would love
Dick
that.
Dick Miller. Now we need Buck Flower.
And the last name was Jeff Conway, who was in the second to last episode. He was the one that was the Save the Whales guy that got stabbed in the end of the episode and basically went through purgatory the whole episode.
That was quite an episode. I loved that one.
Yes, it was. So now that we have gotten through all those, the best thing that I can say at this point is that we have picked our top five. At least I hope you have.
I was not aware there would be a test.
Oh, too late. Too late. It's coming. Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
Mind freak!
So, do you want to start or you want me to start?
Well, are we doing this in the tradition of five starting
four,
at five?
3, 2, 1. And then we'll do our honorable mentions. But, well, we'll do 5, 4, 3, 2. We'll do our honorable mentions and then we'll do one.
Oh, God. There's a lot of episodes, D.
Well, I gave you the assignment, sir.
I don't listen to you. David. How long have we been doing this podcast? You took a sip when I was taking a sip.
Yeah, I know.
Phenomenal expertise. Okay, you go first, loser.
Me go first? Okay. So my top, my number five was Rebel Without a Car. We've already said it. Like, this episode had everything for me. You had the kid who wanted to be in the car club. He had the really strange nightmares of that corpse in his car going with him all the time, which you found out was basically purgatory at the end of the episode. And then you've got this slasher that happens in the second half of the episode. I chose this for my number five because we've said it before, but like if there's an episode that I want to choose to get people into the show, that's definitely one of them to start.
Okay, no, I could see that. Yeah.
So Rebel Without a Car, which is episode 9, that's my number five. What's
that's
your
number
five?
You know, now that I think about it, I think it's tough. I almost wanted to go with It's a Miserable Life,
yeah,
honestly.
Episode 2, yeah.
But I'm not.
You're not going to.
I'm going to go with the Lori Petty one.
So Killer Instinct.
I'm going to go with Killer Instinct. I feel like what you said about like, this is a good introduction. I feel like Killer Instinct is a good introduction to what
you're
going to get.
It's included on the Blu-ray set, if I remember correctly. I think it was that and No More Mr. Nice Guy were the two that were included on the Blu-ray set.
I don't know.
But Killer Instinct I did really like. And also you did, of course, have Freddy coming out of the panty bin.
Which is wonderful. Although it's not as good as when he's under the bed two people are banging on.
Or the sleepover in the episode where he just sits up.
Freddy, he belongs everywhere.
Yeah, and Killer Instinct, of course, did have that great decapitation, and that decapitation is so famous. I mean, they talk about it on every single clip I could find talking about Freddy's Nightmares.
It's not just a cheesy decapitation, it's of Lori Petty.
Of Lori Petty,
so it's
that
extra.
Nick Garris got to take part in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So that's our number fives. Number four, I'm going to go with Mother's Day, and the reason for Mother's Day being my number four is that episode went so batshit on both the A story and the B story. Because the A story, you've got the kid that moved into the house where they, where I guess one of Freddy's crimes had taken place, which is pretty much all of Springwood.
I was going to say, one of his crimes. Yeah, yeah.
You've got the kid that throws the house party that turns into a completely raucous event where they have shotguns off the walls, shooting paintings, stepping on vinyl.
Which was the best part, was stepping on the vinyl.
You've got the stepdad who lands his head into a bear trap and then the head gets mounted on the wall.
So good.
And then the B story, you've got the shitty radio psychologist that has a terrible relationship with her daughter who has just become a part of the accessory to murder of the kid from A story because he fell out of the window. But on top of that, the mother is losing her mind and Freddie is also making her lose her mind. She ends up going to jail because a guy calls in who shoots his landlord and she is the one that basically causes him to do it, I guess you could say.
Sort of. Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, like you said at the end, we have Freddy just basically making them all become family again.
Yeah, that episode has a fever dreamish ending because literally, like, Freddy basically just teaches them a valuable lesson about family.
And you have Freddy in the DJ booth at that one point.
Yeah, that was a good still image for the podcast.
Yes,
too.
Yes, it was.
So that was your number four.
That's my number four, Mother's Day, which is episode 8.
You know, I'm going to have to go number four. I'm going to have to go... by the way, I'm refusing to have the same answers as you.
That's fair.
I think that that's just... it's because you are a bad...
Bad person.
Being a person.
Oh, yeah.
No. I think I'd actually call Cabin Fever.
Cabin Fever?
My number four.
Okay.
Super fun. I am a sucker for both airplanes... like movies set in airplanes, and I'm a sucker for cabins in the woods.
Yeah.
And it had this vibe that none of the other episodes had.
Yeah.
This like deliverancey vibe that was really off-putting, and it's just a whole lot of murdering women and stuff.
You also forget that that is the episode that had Freddy at the MGD bar. Was drinking the MGD beer sign where the sign behind him, and he had the bar flies. He's on the wing of the plane, of course, when we first see him.
Of course he is, yeah.
In the jetpack.
Oh my God, the jetpack. Yeah, I stand by that being my number four.
So Cabin Fever is actually my number three, so we're close.
You suck.
But no, Cabin Fever is a really good episode. One of my favorite things about Cabin Fever is... It took a direction with the B story that you didn't think was going to happen, where when we were reviewing it, we had that character from the A story on the plane who ended up being the antagonist.
Right.
Which
right.
I liked that and everything. Yeah. So, yeah, that's a good pick. I like Cabin Fever a lot. All right. So that's our number fours. Number three, mine was Cabin Fever. What's your number three?
Oh, well, thanks for adding nothing to the conversation. my number three is Safe Sex.
Safe Sex?
Yeah.
Wow. That's my number one.
That's your number one.
That's my number one.
Why'd you spoil it? You friggin' knuckleheaded Iggy Galoot.
No, that's not, I didn't spoil it.
You literally spoiled it.
We'll talk about it now. It's fine.
No, we won't. No,
we won't. If you don't understand that reference, look at the movie 10 to Midnight, and that's all I'll say. I love that movie.
Safe Sex is my number three.
Okay.
Because it's just kind of... It doesn't have the vibe for it to be a number one for me.
Okay.
But it has a heavy duty, ridiculous 80s vibe. The chick with the big hair, all the teen sex innuendos, the Freddy involvement in sex.
Do you think that is probably the most gruesome episode?
I don't know about that.
Because I was thinking about that, because while Safe Sex does have a lot of gore in it, I think, honestly, one of the most gruesome episodes was the, which one? Identity Crisis, the B story in that with the adoption.
Yeah, I think that's probably the most gruesome.
That's a pretty heinous one.
Yeah.
But the thing I loved about Safe Sex, which is why it's my number one, is I had to watch that episode 3 times total to get everything for my notes and just get ready for the podcast. Every time I watched it, I caught something new, or I just had an absolute blast with it, to where Allie was watching with me the last time, and Allie looks over at me and goes, is this like how the rest of the episodes are? And I was like, yeah, like for the most part.
In referring to Safe
just
Sex episode? Safe,
the yeah. Safe Sex episode, just because of A, how sleazy it was, and also she was in the room in the scene with the mom completely being engulfed in the cigar smoke and then having the sex occur. The thing I loved about Safe Sex most was it was Freddie having fun, but also just being a complete monster.
Oh, God, yeah, yeah. No, he... I mean, as opposed to all those times where he's so kind.
He's so kind, yes.
Yeah, yeah, he's so kind.
But yeah, that Safe Sex is a great pick. So number two, mine was Sister's Keeper, episode
really?
7. Yes. The thing I liked about Sister's Keeper was, as we've said before, it's an extension on episode 1. It's a sequel with the twins. Sister's Keeper just felt like a nightmare movie, like the most out of, I think, the entire season. Like, I could see that being a feature film with that story
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, I could too.
And also, you had that amazing special effects scene with Freddy's giant claw.
Yeah.
At the very end. And also a super dark ending, too.
Yeah. No, it was wicked dark. That was the episode where I had the realization that these are like the stories of Elm Street where they didn't beat him. Yeah. And the movies are the ones where they kind of do.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's a little bit dark, but whatever.
And you've got that scene where the mother is talking to one of the daughters in the kitchen and just starts taking those knives and breaking them and makes the Freddy claw with her own hand.
Yeah, that's a great moment. No, I got to hand it to you on that one.
And of course, Freddy freestyling a guitar.
Oh, God. Yeah, it's hard to top.
Sister's Keeper is a really good episode. But like, I felt picking Sister's Keeper for number two because, spoilers, I didn't pick No More Mr. Nice Guy for any of my tops.
Because you hate Toby Hooper.
No,
I love Toby Hooper. You're not a nice person.
My problems with No More Mr. Nice Guy, which we discussed on our first episode, is that the A story is so strong with Freddy's origin story that the B story just kind of felt like the finishing off. I mean, it was a cohesive story by far, but I just didn't feel like it got to the point that the rest of the series kind of does. And I mean, the insanity is in that first episode with the dentist scene and everything, but it's fine. Like, I like No More Mr. Nice Guy, but I like the A story more than the B story.
Wow, you're a dick.
I'm not a dick.
Wow.
So what's your number two?
Well, No More Mr. No, I'm just kidding. No, actually, I did not rank No More Mr. Nice Guy, but not because of the reasons you did.
Okay.
I didn't rank it because I think it's just not fair.
Yeah.
I think that episode is basically a prequel to the Freddy movies.
Yeah.
And it is the most appealing episode to all Freddy fans.
Yeah, I would say so.
And therefore, I just want to take it out of the running. I don't think it's fair.
I feel like it's too easy just because of the star power behind it. But also, I mean, it was the only origin of Freddy we got to that cinematic level that wasn't just like an opening scene of Freddy versus Jason.
What I was about to say is it would be like if one of the episodes was Freddy fighting Jason. It'd be like, well, I can't count that one because literally all the fans ever wanted was that.
Yeah.
All the fans ever wanted was a Freddy prequel.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm leaving it
out.
Taking
it off the table.
It's simply because I don't think it's a fair comparison.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the list because I'm trying to remember the titles.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Oh, no, it would be The End of the World.
The End of the World?
Yeah,
I was wondering.
Because I got my number one ready.
Yeah.
But I know that the End of the World has to be in there.
Yeah.
Because I cannot get over the idea of adding Freddy Krueger to the Cold War.
That is so good. That is solid.
It's so good. Like, yeah, well, yeah, like we got chicks with big hair and like they're wearing that underwear that like goes up to their belly button and stuff. Yeah, that's all 80s. But we got Cold War, baby. Freddy Krueger riding a nuclear bomb.
Pulling a Dr. Strangelove, yes. That was pretty phenomenal.
I learned to love the bomb myself.
Well done.
So that is my number
That's
two.
Your number two.
And I pray your number one is not mine, because if it is, I will punch you right in the jaw.
So,
oh, wait, and I know what it is.
Before,
you already spoiled it.
Yeah, before we get to number one, here's my honorable mentions. Black Tickets, episode 14. I mean, you have Brad Pitt and his fiance, or what? No, did they eloped? So they're married.
They were married. Yeah.
So Brad Pitt and his wife trying to get out of Springwood. They get robbed by an elderly couple. They go to a honeymoon lodge that has piranha in the hot tub.
Piranha. Yeah.
And then the second story was, what would happen if we did get married and our lives just fell apart?
Yeah. And it just sucked. It just was not great.
Because you had that cutaway of the dream sequence where the mother is sitting in the car. She sees the kids fighting in the car next to her, and then she just draws up that submachine gun and puts it to her. I really, really liked Black Tickets. That is one I will recommend. The second honorable mention, It's a Miserable Life. I really, really did like It's a Miserable Life. And the moment that we got to the hospital and that nightmare logic, not to mention Freddy stabbing the power box.
Well, yeah, I mean, an apple a day doesn't keep this doctor.
But, I mean, you've got the doctor smoking the cigar in the organ bank that's chopping up all the bodies. You've got the reveal at the end that her parents died in that hospital, so supposedly now she's dead too because she's seeing her parents.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a really fun episode. And the Beefy Boy theme, which, of course, made our t-shirt for Beefy Boy as well. So I have to give props to that episode.
I mean, Beefy Boy is always a good time.
Yes.
And I agree. I want to mention one of my honorable mentions would be It's a Miserable Life as well.
Yeah.
I feel like the concept of a teen working late at night in Springwood at a fast food restaurant, that alone just gave me like Freddy vibes that made me really happy.
Yeah. No, it's a good episode. And my final honorable mention before we get to my number one, which you already know, is Freddy's Tricks and Treats. The thing I loved most about Freddy's Tricks and Treats was you got Freddy at Halloween time. That was enough in itself. But then you also had a completely Freddy-centric episode that he tormented Mariska Hargitay. He becomes her grandmother, who was super abusive to her when she was young, becomes
Freddy
her multiple times.
Stabbing at that childhood trauma button.
And then you had that sleazy B story with the guy who wanted to record the nightmares.
Yeah, the dream recording.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I really, really liked Freddy's Tricks and Treats. That's an honorable mention. It didn't make my list, but if you're looking for a really fun episode, especially around Halloween time, perfect episode.
I mean, I would agree.
So that is my honorable mentions. And like I said, my number one is Safe Sex, which again, I just have to reiterate that Safe Sex is just a bonkers episode. And we haven't even talked about some of the stuff that's in the extended cut of Safe Sex.
And I just want to thank you for not allowing me to give my honorable mentions. You just went right into your number one.
Oh, my apologies.
Really?
Go ahead.
No, I'm good.
Oh, give your honorable mentions.
Well, I mean, no. I'm looking at this. I mean, Sister's Keeper, I would definitely give an honorable mention. It's really fun and creepy, and it really does feel the most like a storyline that would have been one of the films.
Yeah.
And then I love Judy Miller Come On Down because because Judy Miller Come On Down has that like game show nutsoid element that I just appreciate.
Like, Are You Afraid of the Dark from Hell almost is what it felt like to me in a couple spots.
Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
I could agree with that. So anyway, sorry that I wanted to get in my honorable mentions.
Well, we also have to mention that Judy Miller Come On Down has Freddy's head in the oven.
Well, which is ideal, yes.
And him making pig sounds.
So you want my number one?
I would love your number one. What's your number one?
Well, unfortunately, your list was wrong.
Oh.
Yes, because my number one is Freddy's Tricks and Treats.
Freddy's Tricks and Treats?
Yes. Right. Because of everything you said, you idiot. Because it's Freddy at Halloween time.
Yeah.
It's a Freddy-centric episode. It's got all kinds of sleazy elements and gross-out elements. It's all about a young woman. There's a guy who tells her a story about the whole town being haunted by Freddy Krueger. It's got all of that, and that's just the first half.
Yeah, it's his first half.
Then the second half is an even sleazier story.
And unsettling.
And unsettling, but it's just this sleazy story with this guy with 80s hairdo who's just abusing patients at a college. But we spend a lot of time in the boiler room. We spend a lot of time in Freddy's dream domain. Yeah. That one, to me,
it's good.
That's got to be the number one.
It's
and
a,
the
it's
fact
a damn
that
good
it's
episode.
Only an honorable mention from yours tells me everything I need to know about where you're going to be in my will, which is nowhere.
You know I'm a huge slasher fan, so naturally the two episodes that have slasher tendencies is Mother's Day and Rebel Without a Car.
If you're such a slasher fan, name 20.
You really want me to?
Go on.
Prom Night, Mutilator, Slaughter High, House the or Dorm the Drip Blood, House by the or not House by the Cemetery, House in Sorority Row,
Five,
Halloween, Halloween Six, Two, seven. Halloween Three.
No, that's not. You can't do that. Although it wouldn't get you all the way there. Nice try.
I can keep going. Prom Night, Terror Train, The Fog. I don't know.
Let's just agree you failed.
Oh, shut up. You finally get to use that.
Well, I mean, I use it in my own mind about you all the time.
And I feel like before we end this rediscussion of the episodes, we have to give credit to the light at the end of the tunnel just from the opening alone with Freddy killing the yuppie family.
Oh, my God. Yeah. This show is so outrageous and so just completely out of its mind that it's hard to remember all of the nuts things.
That's why I wrote the list down, because like even I tried something last night and failed within like three lines. I was going to try to name all the episodes in order without looking them up.
No way.
I stopped at Killer Instinct because I couldn't remember the name Killer Instinct.
Wow.
But
not a smart man, ladies and gentlemen.
I've got to say, to put season one into a bow, if you're listening to this and you haven't gotten on Tubi yet, and you're in the States, of course. And
yeah, unfortunately, USA only right now.
Yeah, and you haven't gotten on Tubi yet to see these episodes or even just watch a couple of them, do yourself a favor. And if you got no plans coming up this weekend, get on Tubi, watch an episode or two, and I swear you're going to have a great time with this show.
They're fun. It's a really fun show.
It completely blew away my expectations, because like you said, I was worried that we were going to get into a slogging of episodes, and we haven't. Like, even looking back over this list, there's not one I would remove, honestly.
Not one?
Not one. Not a single one.
Well, I bet there are B stories you'd remove.
Possibly.
Hateful Dave is hateful.
But I would also like to thank Alan Katz, Jeff Freilich, James Cappy for being our guests for the season one discussions that we've had so far. We look forward to having them back, hopefully. And we've got some more guests along the way as well that we're excited about, too.
Do we?
Oh, we do.
But do we?
Oh, we do.
Okay. Well, is that it, D?
That's what I've
That's
got.
That's all you got?
I mean, what are your final thoughts on season one?
Oh, my final thoughts? I mean, in all sincerity, I really have been surprised how fun it was. But like I said, I'm known for being a Pollyanna. I'm known for being somebody who likes most things when people don't like them. You could tell just by my ratings. They tend to always be at least a step higher than yours.
Yeah.
That's just who I am. But I've really found a lot of fun and a lot of comfort food watching in Freddy's Nightmares. So, no, I'm thrilled with it. Like I said, I'm cautiously optimistic about season two, just because I've had so much fun with season one, but also because once we finish it, eventually, inevitably, the podcast has to end.
Then it becomes the Freddy's Dead podcast, where every episode we talk about Nightmare on Elm Street 6, Freddy's Dead.
But only for an hour and a half at a time. Yes.
There we go. But speaking of season two, we haven't said this in a while. Next week, we're going to be talking about Season 2, Episode 1, Dream Come True, directed by Mr. George Katzender, starring Charles Cyphers.
Ooh.
So, yes, I mean, Sheriff Brackett.
Any person with a plural last name.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow, well, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yes, it will.
So, is everybody excited about that?
Wait, I hope so.
I thought I had a crowd cheering effect, but I don't. So, we'll just go with Pornhub again.
Hey!
But, all right, well, we're going to get out of here. Thank you all for listening to Welcome to Prime Time, a Freddy's Nightmares podcast. If you want to reach out and cut someone, just email us at freddysnightmarespod@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. If you love what we're doing, go on your favorite podcasting app like Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating. I've noticed a lot of you have.
Yes,
and we appreciate it. And we will be back here next Tuesday. You know, we should be saying, see you next Tuesday.
See you next Tuesday.
That's how I feel about David anyway. But we'll be back next week with a trip to Springwood. Until then,
don't sleep.
Oh.
Or dance or else.
I'm just going to fade us out of this.